A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
A hero can be anyone, even a man doing something as simple and reassuring as putting a coat around a young boy's shoulders to let him know the world hadn't ended.
Hey, Mr. Rogers.
It's a beautiful day.
You won the gig then.
Remember, you wanted this.
Welcome to Screen Perspectives, a podcast produced by the Pittsburgh Film Office to share how people build successful careers in the screen industry, be it film, TV, streaming, etc. Screen Perspectives was born out of many conversations with industry professionals, sometimes over dinner, sometimes over drinks, and a lot of times driving around looking at the wonderful diversity of locations in the southwestern Pennsylvania region. Thousands of people make their living in the film, TV, streaming business, which is nationally an over $28 billion a year industry. Locally, it is responsible for over $150 million in new money to the southwestern Pennsylvania region's economy. There really is no direct pathway to success in this industry. It's a lot of hard work, networking, and you have to account for a little bit of luck to be successful. The Pittsburgh Film Office is excited to share these amazing individual stories with you, so you can learn how they did it and determine your best path forward. Screen Perspectives is hosted by me, Dawn Keyser, Executive Director of the Pittsburgh Film Office, and the incredible Kevin Smith, screenwriter and screenwriting instructor at the University of Pittsburgh. Thank you for joining us. Our guests on today's podcast are Academy Award-nominated producers who have a very special connection to Pittsburgh. Howard and Karen Baldwin have made more than 30 feature films, including producing the 2004 Academy Award-nominated film Ray, and filmed in the Pittsburgh region's Sudden Death. In addition to an amazing career as a filmmaker, Howard Baldwin began his career in professional hockey, was the owner of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and won a Stanley Cup as the owner of the team. Karen Baldwin began her career in professional sports working for the National Hockey League. She produced, wrote, and co-hosted her own sports show, Ahead of the Game, breaking new ground as one of the first females to host a show about hockey. As owners of KEMB Productions, Howard and Karen Baldwin have produced films such as Sahara, Odd Man Rush, The Other Side of the Tracks, Atlas Shrugged, Part 1, Danny Deckchair, Swimming Upstream, Mr. Hockey, The Gordie Howe Story, Death Sentence, Hoosiers, as well as numerous other films. We're thrilled they joined us to talk about their roles in the film industry. Thanks for listening.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Screen Perspectives, a podcast produced by the Pittsburgh Film Office, along with the amazing Kevin Smith, who helps run broadcast at the University of Pittsburgh, along with Jenny Booker and Isaiah Stewart. We're your team that brings this to happen, and we're super excited to have Howard and Karen Baldwin with us today. Welcome.
Thank you. We're thrilled to be here with good friends and a city we remember with love.
Sudden Death is our first film that we did with Howard and Karen, which Karen wrote. That was my first film in Pittsburgh.
Now, Tom, come on. If we're going to play, you got to play nice. So you go run your little ass off. I know where the bombs are, so I know where you're going.
Then come and get me.
So I'm super excited to talk to you about that. Did you have a great experience during Sudden Death?
We did. It was a tough experience, though, because we actually... we had the team at the time, and Howard can explain there was a bit of a lockout, and we were supposed to be using all of our crowds and everything, and so it was going to be a cost savings, and then we wound up with no games.
Full disclosure, Howard owned the Penguins at the time, the Pittsburgh Penguins, and yeah, they thought this was going to be an amazing opportunity, put the Penguins on the big screen, use the arena, do all these things, and then we had a strike.
It was interesting because Karen wrote it, produced it, and actually opened the movie. In a scene to this day, I don't know how the heck she did it, but she did it. And
that's not me in the icy costume, by the way.
I thought we were going to get a big reveal here, Karen. I was like, wait, I didn't know you were you did that.
We wanted to make the movie because we felt it was a great way to show with a good action director, Peter Hyam, how great hockey is. And we knew we'd obviously have full cooperation in Pittsburgh. And Karen is right. The lockout happened. And fortunately, I was one of the few owners that had a pretty good relationship with the players union. And so Bobby Goodenow, he said, look, go ahead and use your players. We'll let you bring the Cleveland players up, which was our minor league team. We put the Blackhawk uniforms on them. And we shot the heck, it was like an exhibition game. But really what we needed were the crowd scenes. And Pittsburgh being the great sports fans they had, we still had 12,000 people there. Wow. And the only hitch, was Jean-Claude, who decided to pull a hissy fit and not come out of his trailer for some reason. And Karen and I went down and said, we pretty much read him his rights to get him out of that trailer. But other than that, it went really well.
We only had two glitches. We had that one glitch, and then all of the other players, they were very open to having their name and their numbers on their jerseys. But because Jean-Claude played the goaltender, Tommy Barrasso decided, nope, not going to be my name or my number. If you look at the movie, everybody else's name and number is like a real player. And then you see the goaltender is a different name and a different number.
Tell Dawn and Kevin and everybody the locker room scene with what the name of the kid, Jay, the tough guy.
Jay Caulfield. And I remember when we first brought the script to Peter Hyams, he's like, God, this is great. But who the hell is ever going to let you do this in an NHL or with an NHL team? And nobody's ever going to let you do this in Pittsburgh in the arena. And Howard's like, well, actually, we will let you do it. So that's what sort of got Peter. He's like, you're kidding. So he was like, oh my God, okay. So when we took him through the arena, he also wanted to meet some of the real players. And he went into the locker room and he saw Jay Caulfield, and Jay had just finished working out. And he was stunned. He was like, oh my God, this guy has just an incredible physique. He's got to be in the movie. And in the scene in the movie, when they first pan the locker room, originally Jay was meant to be standing next to Jean-Claude, but Jean-Claude ixnayed it. And he said, there's no way, this guy actually has a better body than I have.
All I can picture is Howard going to the trailer to get Jean-Claude Van Damme. And by the way, Howard's a Marine, so I have my money on him when dealing with Jean-Claude. I want to let you know right now. So,
you know, all the flat people that we had in the stands, because yeah, you had 12,000 people, but we needed about 12,000 more. Some of those lived in my office for a very long time.
And it looked, really?
You know, and they're cut out of cardboard, and these people would all just be staring at you. And then, of course, the amazing Civic Arena, may it rest in peace, because the roof would open, and you dropped a helicopter, a real helicopter, down through the ice.
I'm not going to kill you. I'd rather you spend the rest of your life remembering you couldn't save your little girl.
It was amazing because the roof still opened. I mean, that roof had not been open for a couple of decades, and they were able to get... Wow. It was an amazing work. It's a shame it had to be torn down, because as an architectural feat back in the day, imagine a retractable roof that actually in the wintertime could open and close and do... I mean, in Pittsburgh, it's a tough weather, and it worked beautifully.
Another fun story on that. We almost missed that shot, and we had one shot at that shot, Kevin.
Wow.
We put plexiglass all over the ice, obviously, so that when, you know, the floor wouldn't get damaged, and you had a crane holding the helicopter, and you had power, whatever, however they did it. And, you know, it was about $1 million scene, $750,000 scene. And somehow one of the cameras wasn't on. Thank God the other was on. So we got the shot. They didn't tell us that, Karen, for a good few weeks.
I know, for a long time.
Yeah. Oh my God. Till the camera operator can get out of the country. That's what that
is. That's right.
But actually, the sort of the joke was when we got, you know, crowds and all, but to fill in, as you said, it was the one-dimensional sort of plexiglass people, you know? Yeah. And there's one shot where if you look at from all the way down, you see like everybody is like 2 inches thin. It's very quick. But if you really watch it, you can find it. And then the other thing that was, we all joked about, because, you know, back in the day, right? Okay, so these things were built to be politically correct. So it was a man, a woman, a child, somebody African-American, somebody Asian. And the joke was, we never knew this many African-American people and Asian-Americans liked hockey.
That's a great story.
We're going to go look for them. We're going to pull them out for the celebration of the 30-year anniversary. Look, you guys have done, you have an amazing list of credits and talent, yeah. And we want to talk about all that. And really, with Screen Perspectives, our whole goal is to just talk about your pathway to success and how you got here. And I brought up Sudden Death because that was our Pittsburgh experience, and we hope to see you back here one day. But Karen, will you tell us a little bit about how you got into the industry? And then I want to talk about Howard got there too.
Yeah, back in the day, originally, it was acting and all that was something that I loved to do as a hobby. It was not a practical career path. I was going to be a doctor and I was pre-med. And then I worked in an intensive care unit and I kind of reevaluated that. So I was a psych major. I went to work for the Hartford Whalers. And that was the year that the Hartford Whalers hosted the All-Star Game, and Howard owned the Whalers, and we met through that.
The brightest stars in hockey will be shining in Hartford for the 38th National Hockey League All-Star Game tonight. Live from the sold-out Civic Center in Hartford, the great capital of the great state of Connecticut, it's the 38th Annual All-Star Game on ESPN.
And so we kind of met through the hockey, but at some point, the team was sold, and then we realized, okay, well, the other thing that we had gotten into was investing in a couple of scripts, because we both sort of love the arts, we both love movies, and we had invested in a few scripts, and when the team sold, we went out to LA, and I kept doing the acting, I took a lot of acting classes, and then I really got interested in the writing aspect of things. There's a very short window for females in the acting business. And unless you're a big star like a Sandra Bullock, God bless, or people who really can have longevity, most women are a couple of years, you get a couple parts, and then it's the next prettier, younger, and you're done. So basically, I loved the writing, and I loved the reading of the scripts and how to sort of achieve telling a story within a certain number of minutes in the best way possible. So I took a lot of writing classes. And basically I read everything I could get my hands on. I took as many classes as I could. And from there it sort of evolved and we started producing our own things. And having had the experience of being an actor and then a writer, it helped me have the experience to segue into the producing where I sort of understood what everybody was meant to be doing. And that's kind of the path for me. And it was learning by doing. It was just doing.
Don't let her sell herself short when she acted. She did about 11 TV things or movies, and there she is in an acting class with Brad Pitt, Johnny Depp, and God knows who else. So she paid her due.
They did not want me in the sequel, so I thought that probably was telling me something.
And then, Howard, because you liked movies, and you obviously liked Karen, is that sort of was your entree in? That, and you had people coming to you with scripts going, hey.
Yeah.
Right before Karen and I met, one of my closest friends in life, Bill Minot, left the banking business and went out to MGM and got into the product placement business. And then product placement was almost alien words. Nobody knew what the hell is product placement. They put him on a Rocky picture. He did good. And so like everybody else, everybody out there, whatever you do, you want to be a producer. So Billy said, now, look, I don't know what discretionary funds you have, but I have a script here called Flight of the Navigator that needs a rewrite. If you put up 50 grand, you'll get your money back plus whatever. So I read the script, and to this day, it's one of the best scripts that I read. The original one, not the one they made. It was a good script. And so we put the 50 grand up, and next thing you know, we're off and running. Disney made the movie, and that sort of got the bug in my, the bee in the bonnet, so to speak. The next one we did was developed Hoosiers.
Right.
And then the next one after that, where Karen and I met on our first date, was the movie Billy Galvin.
Name? Hey, Mr. Kennedy, how are you? Hey, you know, you're looking pretty good there. You've been getting some sun, huh?
Name?
Yeah, Galvin, Billy Galvin.
Not Jack Galvin's kid. two Galvins in one lifetime. I mean, it's not fair.
Come on, Big Tom. Make this easy on yourself. Get me out of here. Put me to work, huh?
That's Mr. Big Tom to you.
They didn't have Hallmark then, but it was kind of like a Hallmark movie. We kind of got bitten by the bug. And for me, having a horrible problem staying focused on more than one thing, you know, I have to have a lot of things sort of buzzing around in my world. So the business was perfect for me. And Karen and I were such a good fit because she is unbelievable when it comes to the creative and how to develop a script. So we started out right together and made a good team.
We enjoy working together, believe it or not. People are like, oh my God, how do you like live together, work together? We always have. So
yeah. She can't fire me and I can't fire her.
That's a good deal.
Kevin and I joke that he's the president of my fan club, but I really think Howard is definitely the president of Karen's fan club.
Unquestionable.
And vice versa, me too. Although you do notice we are in separate rooms.
You've been listening to episode 24 of Screen Perspectives. Screen Perspectives is hosted by Don Keyser and Kevin Smith, produced and engineered by Max Glider, Isaiah Stewart, and Jennifer Booker. Music by Isaiah Stewart. Special thanks to today's guest Howard and Karen Baldwin, the Pittsburgh Film Office, and to the University of Pittsburgh. Screen Perspectives is a production of the Pittsburgh Film Office.